Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Amen, amen. Welcome to church, every single one of you in person, those of us joining on air, online, you are absolutely welcome. We are glad that you chose to be a part of our service today, and I know you've been blessed. Once again, welcome Pastor Ivan. It's a bit of a unique spelling. From Norway, we met at the World Pentecostal Conference in Finland, and the theme was about charging us to go and make, to continue the Great Commission in the power of the Holy Spirit. It was such a great one. And then he's part of the Jesus Revolution, which is an evangelistic movement in Europe, reaching young people with the love of Jesus. That's amazing. So you are so welcome. And sure, we've been blessed. He trained some of our youth workers, and he's amazing. Actually, there is a silent revival. That's what they've called it, happening in Europe. And it's happening among young people. More Bibles. Young people are buying Bibles. They've had copy Bibles. That many are buying. Many are coming back to church. And you know what? Mostly young men. That's quite something. So we love Europe and we pray for Europe. And hey, man, make sure you're a part of the prayer this coming Saturday. Because the warrior women were here on last Friday. It was packed inside, outside. We used our mission trucks to beam the service outside. It was crazy here. And God moved. Amazing movement of prayer happening. So Vanita and your sisterhood and the pastor's wives, you guys are doing great. And then last Sunday, we launched our Golden Legacy Ministry. That is really a ministry for those who are 55 and above. Because, listen, you can be fruitful in your old age. And that's what it is about. You're important to the church. We need dads. We need granddads and grandmoms and moms in the house. And so it's a ministry just designed for you. It was great. And these people love the next generation. And so the Golden Legacy Ministry will provide opportunities for them to engage, connect, care for each other. But more than that, they want to pour their wisdom into the next generation. So it's a really great one. So please, if you have a parent or if you're in that category, please be a part of the Golden Legacy Ministry. Now, we're carrying on our series, God's Heart for the Community. And it's been great messages reminding us that actually God Almighty owns community and He cares for community. And the way God cares for community is through His church. And last week we focused on the kind of heart that we need to have when we are caring for community. And it's the same heart that God has, and that's a heart of compassion. It is possible for you to help people without compassion, and you'll just be going through the motions. But if you truly have a heart of compassion, like a heart of God, you can't help but reach out to community. And so we saw that this heart of compassion, what it looks like, it looks beyond the inconvenience and it looks beyond the pain that comes when you're caring for the vulnerable. It goes beyond all of that. It actually means when you have a heart of compassion, like God's heart of compassion, you start to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Even when it costs us. Even when it's tough. Now, my friends, the story of Watoto, when it comes to caring for community, is a story of God challenging our founders, Gary and Marilyn, to step out of the comfort of a church that was growing to actually carry God's heart to the community, to the vulnerable. And I'd like to share with you a video right now that will just tell you a little bit of our journey. Because when it comes to us caring for community, it was God's call. It's not just a good thing we are doing. It is a God assignment. That's our journey. It's a God call for us to care for community. And today I want to talk about caring for the vulnerable. I had a story of a woman who was once driving, and then she saw a bunch of kids who were begging. And so they came to her window and asked for something, and she decided to give them oranges. That's what she had in her car. When she gave them the oranges, they threw them back at her. What would you do if it were you? There's two gentlemen who wrote an interesting book. One is called Steve Corbett. The other one is Brian, not Abaho. Brian Fickert. And this is the title of the book: When Helping Hurts. How to alleviate poverty without hurting the poor and yourself. And the whole thesis of this book is really about the idea of sometimes when you're trying to help, you end up hurting those you are helping. Other times, those you are helping may hurt you. And the focus is really, what is the true biblical approach to helping, to caring for the vulnerable, the poor? And so it emphasizes that sometimes well-meaning aid can sometimes do more harm than good when it's implemented without understanding the root cause of poverty. And so in the book, these two authors look around, and in their research, they advocate that when it comes to helping the poor and caring for community, that it needs to be done in a relational and community-based approach, which promotes dignity, empowerment, and sustainable solutions. And so for them, there's a framework they recognize that would really help. And I'm so glad that when I read this framework and look at what we do, we are really in that place where our helping is not hurting, but rather our helping is becoming transformational day by day. As you have seen on the screen. He says this framework must touch four areas if you're going to care for community in a way that's sustainable, meaningful, and transformational. You must make sure there's a spiritual component. You must make sure you're paying attention to, secondly, the social component. You must make sure you don't ignore the physical component. And finally, you must also think about the economic component of that community. And so it encourages those who are trying to help communities to shift from a charity mindset to a partnership and empowerment mindset. That's pretty powerful. Here's what a charity mindset is. You help out of sympathy. Oh, let me just do something. That's not God's heart. God has not called us to just do something. He has a heart for the community, and if we are going to care for the community and care for the vulnerable, we need to do it from a place of compassion. Yeah. It's a commitment. You go 100%. You don't just do it a little bit. You go 100%. And when you think about the vulnerable are people who are at risk of being exploited or being harmed physically, emotionally, or spiritually. That's who the vulnerable are. And when you read the Bible, you see that God's heart is drawn to the vulnerable. And so must our hearts be. Let me read a few scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 24. Here's what it says. And this is writing to the children of Israel. Verse 17 to 22. It says, true justice must be given to foreigners. And this word foreigners actually refers to people that have been displaced from their homes and find themselves in a different land, refugees. So it says, justice must be given to the foreigners, refugees living among you, and to orphans, those who have lost one or both of their parents. And you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. In other words, don't take advantage of the widow. You're trying to help her, but you're putting a condition. Verse 18. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God redeemed you from your slavery. That's why I have given you this command. What was God saying? Never forget where I got you from. You were slaves in Egypt. And then I delivered you, rescued you. I've brought you to a place of flourishing. I've blessed you. Now, I want you not to forget those who are also in a difficult situation. Listen, my friends, never forget that the blessing you have comes from God. And God, who has blessed you, wants you to be a blessing. Hello? Yeah, you can clap. You can clap for that. That's the truth. And so he's telling them, I am asking you to care for the vulnerable because at one point you were vulnerable and I rescued you. So he begins to give some practical things. When you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring in the bundle of grain from your field, in other words, you've left something, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. There's a blessing attached to caring for the community. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, for the orphans and the widows. When you gather the grapes in your vine field, don't glean the vines after they are picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows. Remember that you are slaves in the land of Egypt. That's why I'm giving you this command. My goodness, there's some of us with this command. We are so selfish that we leave no room to be a blessing to others. Even when you've been blessed in a way, you want to use everything. You give every excuse in the book not to be helpful to others. You think about your dreams alone. You think about your needs alone. And you hold on to that 50K note for your dear life. God's saying, hey, even that harvest you have, it's me who has caused it. And I'm asking you, now that I've blessed you, would you be a blessing to others? That's what God is saying. Everything we have comes from Him. And He's saying, all I need you to do is to share with those in need. James 1:27, pure and unblemished religion, as it is expressed in outward acts, in the sight of God, of our God and Father, is this: to visit and to look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress, and to also keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. In other words, God is saying pure and faultless religion is one that is not only pursuing holiness, but also pursuing care. Psalm 68 and verses 5 and 6 says this, that God is a father to the fatherless. He's a defender of widows. It is God in his holy dwelling. And what does he do? He sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. My friends, these are just a few scriptures that I've got that will show you that God's heart is not aloof or hardened towards the vulnerable. His heart is moved towards the vulnerable. That's our story as Watoto Church. From being founded in 1984 to a growing church, God challenges Gary, like you saw, and Marilyn to start caring about the vulnerable. And for over 30 years, we've been doing that. Blessing them in homes, especially for the children. Putting them in homes, because it's a commitment. In families, not just doing something, but doing everything to give them opportunities in life. Some people have visited our children's villages and have said, why are you doing all of this for them? Let me tell you why. Because when you think about your own life, you'd want God to do everything for you. Do to others what you'd want done to you. When you put yourself in their shoes and ask yourself, if I were in those shoes, what would I have desired? To have a home, a secure place. To have a family, relationships, education. So our homes have all of that. And it's not just about rescuing the orphan child and the vulnerable children. It's about raising them. There's intentionality. Raising them to be godly transformational leaders that will rebuild the nation. And so for us, every rescued child is a dream that is being made to come alive again. It's saying, hey, life may have happened, but you can dream again. Yes. When we reach out to a vulnerable mother in our neighborhoods, we are saying, you have made some choices that may have brought you here. Oh, life may have just happened, but life should not steal your dream. You can still dream again. When you're caring for community, it's not just what we do, it's the dreams that we are making come alive. I know we have our own dreams, and they're big. But let me tell you a secret. When you help other people's dreams come alive, God will help your dream come alive. He'll do that. I mean, when we rescue babies, and we're telling those, they even don't know, but they have dreams. And like I said, it's been 30 years. There's something very beautiful I'm going to do at the end of the service to celebrate the fruit of this work and how we can continue seeing it grow bigger and even better. I want to share you with a video, share a video with you, which is just a story of one of those that have been rescued and now their dreams have come alive. Just a powerful, this is what God does when you choose to be his hands and his feet and care for the vulnerable. And so you gotta see with the eyes of Jesus when it comes to caring for the vulnerable. Our story continues in 2008, and we'll talk more about this next week, where God spoke to Marilyn for us to also begin to care for the vulnerable mothers and women in our communities. And that's going to be a big part of our future Watoto neighborhood. Powerful opportunity. And this time round, this month, as we emphasize community, they are going to be highlighted, and you're going to hear very many stories from what we're doing with the vulnerable mothers in our neighborhoods. In 2009, God called us to go to Gulu, a place that was broken, coming out of war. And we planted a church there in Gulu. I had the privilege of being entrusted with the whole project of planting up in Gulu. And I saw from when we stepped in Gulu and saw the brokenness, the suspicion amongst the people, walking in the internally displaced people's camps and seeing the pain, the suffering right there. And somehow by the grace of God, as we've prayed and partnered with different people and also other churches and government authorities, man, God can turn around a story of an entire community. Gulu is not what it was 20 years ago. It's completely changed, and they are dreaming again. And for many years, actually, it's been voted as the most one, the district, first of all, which is developing fast with integrity. It's just amazing. It's amazing. It looks like God waits for you to take a step. And then when he takes his step, you can't begin to imagine what he has done. So don't sit and say, I don't have enough. Use what you have in your hands. When it comes to caring for God, do what you can, and God will do what you can't. 2012, God called us to go to Juba, South Sudan. I mean, we have been there, and we went through two wars in South Sudan, and we had to evacuate our team and bring them back. But we went back. We stayed committed, and every time that happened, we started from ground zero. But our commitment is there to care for the communities and do a church, reach the people up in South Sudan. In God's faithfulness, he never forgot us. You do what you can, God will do what you can't. Just this past month, and I announced it, we managed to purchase two pieces of property in Juba for us to have a church and do the work of caring for community. God is faithful. I mean, that place is expensive, but God Almighty gave us miraculous opportunities. Stick to it. Don't give up. What we see in childcare and what we see in neighborhood is a labor of love for many years. That's what it is. And so what's the challenge for you today? Here's the challenge. Say yes to God's heart. Gary had to go through his own struggle and say yes. Look how many lives have been impacted. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. Then I heard, the Bible says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here I am, send. Would you have the same posture? The generations of the past said yes. That's why we see what we see today. I read a statement. Every generation has a chance to write history. Every generation. And then there was a question, why not us? Say yes. Say yes. That's the call for us as Watoto, to refresh our community, our passion and our compassion for caring for community. Isaiah 1:16 says, learn to do right. Seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, and plead the case of the widow. Say yes to that call. What's our response? Three things. Number one, answer that call and engage fully. Don't be half-hearted when it comes to caring for the vulnerable. Don't let this vision be Watoto vision. Who is Watoto? Watoto is a family of people that celebrate Christ and care for community. That's who we are. It's not the buildings. It's not the systems. We have all that stuff. It's the people. In fact, when I see people fighting our building plans, I laugh because they think the church is the building. Church is not the building. Church is the people. It is us. You can't stop our love for God and our love for people. We will love them. We'll do that. So let this dream be your own dream. Let this heart be your own heart. Let your hands and feet be committed to Jesus and say, Jesus, wherever you're sending me in my community, I'm going to be there. Secondly, give intentionally. And I said that this month our focus is going to be on the neighborhood mothers. Here's our goal. We want to see 1,000 mothers empowered by having startups for their businesses so they can break the cycle of poverty in their lives. And we can do it. So the golf challenge, and even this month, is geared towards that. Our goal is to raise $350 million to help 1,000 mothers. Our estimate is about 350,000 shillings can turn around a mother's life. We are not giving a handout. It's a hand up. We are committed to these mothers. We work with them intentionally for 2 years and do follow-ups later. So we're not just going to hand them money, no. It's relational. You know what I read? When helping hearts? If you just throw money at problems, money will do nothing. You gotta be engaged, relational. And we've been doing that. You're gonna hear more stories. So I want to encourage you to begin to prepare your hearts so you can participate in this offering. Through the golf challenge, by the way, we've already raised 50 million. 50 million shillings. So prepare. At the end of the month, we're going to give a generous offering. As a business, you may say, we want to help 2-3 women. As an individual, as a family, it might be, I just want to contribute whatever God lays on your heart. Give intentionally. And finally, share the gospel. Share the gospel with them. Even the vulnerable need to be saved. If we do everything we do to feed, clothe, and house, educate, and forget to share the gospel, we will have missed everything. The difference maker with what we do to care for community as a church and other organizations is the Jesus component. Because money cannot fix the hearts. Only Jesus can. Money cannot change people's mindsets. Only Jesus can. That's why for us, we do it in the name of Christ and we introduce them to Jesus who saves. That's what we do. So God has a heart for the community and he has a heart for the vulnerable. He wants us to carry the same heart and be practical. Our story, as Watoto have shared, you've seen how God led us to care for the vulnerable children. And God wants us to say yes. How? By making sure this heart of caring for community becomes yours. Personalize it. Let it be your own. Carry the same heart. Secondly, he wants you to give. Be practical. Give intentionally towards caring for the vulnerable. Do it. But thirdly, don't forget to share the good news. Now I'm ending. As I speak about caring for the vulnerable, there's some of us who are watching today or in the building today. Your vulnerability is a spiritual one. You're actually living in spiritual darkness. You don't know Jesus. You're carrying guilt and shame. You're not certain if you'd spend eternity with Jesus. The only way spiritual blindness and lostness can be fixed is very simple. It's by you saying yes to Jesus. He's your Savior. He loves you. Yes, he cares for those that are disadvantaged in community, but he's interested in your eternity. And as I speak now, Holy Spirit is already nudging you. He's calling you to say yes to Jesus for your salvation. And I want to pray with you right now. Let's bow our heads for a moment. If that's you and you're saying, Pastor, it's me. I am lost. I want to give my life to Jesus. Maybe you're one of those who knew Jesus, but you walked away. Online, on air, in the building. If you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift up your hand right now. If you're online, lift up that virtual hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Online, raise your hand. Thank you, madam. God bless you. Just put up a virtual hand if you're online and someone will get in touch with you. In the building, upstairs, just lift your hand. I have a friend who's going to come to you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless. It's the most important. It's the most important yes any human being can make. A yes to Jesus. Any other person? Wow, thank you. Thank you. I see that hand, ma'am. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, madam. Right at the back. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you raised your hands, I would like you to repeat this prayer. In fact, everyone and those online as well, would you repeat this prayer after me? Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Today, I ask you to forgive me of my sin and make me a child of God. I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen, amen. Come on, let's celebrate our friends. Online, on air. If you're on air, there's an email you can write to us, connect@watotochurch.com, and someone will be in touch. Or you can text the numbers on your screen, and we will be in touch. In the building, welcome to Jesus. And we're going to spend a few moments with you after the service. But I said there was something I was excited about. And guys, begin to make your way up, if you can, today. You know, we're talking about God's heart to care for community. We've been doing that for 30 years now in the children's homes. And through those 30 years, many of our children have graduated out of the program and are now living productive lives. And on the stage, I'm inviting some of them because today is a special day because we are officially going to launch the Watoto Alumni Family Leadership here. It's going to be amazing. This is the fruit of God's work when it comes to caring for community, for vulnerable children. And they've come with their families. Some of the fathers' hearts are here. Some of those who traveled, like Auntie Peace there, went with some of them on the choirs those many years ago. They're all here. Let me see, if you, those who are not on the advisory board, the alumni who are here, would you raise your hand so we can see? These are part of the alumni. They're coming to stand behind their new leadership. So good. The team that serves in Watoto Child Care, I've seen the deputy ED here. Come on, that's so good. I also see pastors for Asubi. I also see Pastor Chono and Sonia, who are pastors there. Today is a special day because we are going to commission the advisory board. They chose this board themselves. We are raising leaders, okay? They went through themselves and talked. They've set their terms. They have great vision. And we're only going to have a pastor who's going to support them. They said we want a pastor on our board so that we keep in line with the church vision. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you the supervisory board of the Watoto Alumni Family that we are commissioning today, Barbara Buinza. Yeah, and Barbara's husband is here. Mr. Buinza and family, they are also here. Wonderful. Barbara's going to be the chair of the board. Barbara is among the first children that were rescued in Watoto in 1994. Wow. From Kangulumira, that's where we started. Then to Kansanga, then to Olive Gullies, then to the villages. Barbara is one of those. Today, Barbara owns Speak Life Enterprises. She's a consultant in agribusiness. Amazing, a home educator. You can see her wonderful family here. So she's going to be chairing the board. Then I want to introduce the other board members, Bob Mazima, right here. Good man. Bob is a business guy. He sees business opportunities everywhere. He is the founder and owner of Skills Production and Services. That's Bob here. He's on the board. Jacqueline Biamgisha, where are you? Board member, we know Jacqueline. She's led service here. Very wonderful. She has a wide experience. I mean, Bidco, Orange Telecom, Children's Choir. And now she is the sponsorship and retention and engagement team leader. Come on. That's so good. That's amazing. Thank you, Jacqueline. We have Sharon. Sharon, right here. I can never forget. Sharon was one of those young ones trying to dance. Now she's a very serious person. Okay? She even added to her name Skinner. I know if Gary and Marilyn are watching, they'll be so proud of Sharon. Sharon joined Watoto in 2000, and she graduated with a bachelor's in development studies. She's currently a sales and marketing manager at Supreme Marker. These are high capacity people. And finally, Andrew Daka. Yeah, over there. Andrew, today he's in a jacket. Usually he's in shorts. He's doing, because Andrew makes sure every person who has come to visit Watoto, he takes them around. He leads that host group. So Andrew, you're welcome to the board. So Watoto family, welcome with me the Watoto Alumni Family Advisory Board. And we want to commission them. Yeah. Please, aunties. Hey, we have some, are there some mothers who are here as well? Yes, mothers, you wave as well. They are here to celebrate. She's representing the mom. Come and lay your hands on them, mothers. Pastors, come lay your hands. Come and lay your hands on them. Our father's hearts, please do come, because we want to commission this wonderful board. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity you've given to us today to see fruit of what you began over 30 years ago when you challenged Pastors Gary and Marilyn to care for vulnerable children. Today we see them as godly transformational leaders, having their own families and businesses, career people, but they have a dream, they have a vision. And Lord, I pray, as we commission this beautiful advisory board, use them to mobilize their brothers and sisters, those in Uganda and beyond, so that they can carry on the mission of rebuilding the nations. I pray that you will give them vision and a heart to love their younger brothers and sisters who are still on the way. Some are still going to be rescued in our communities. May they be that kind of board. And as they continue to serve this vision of Watoto by mobilizing the alumni to carry on the vision of what you began in them, anoint them. Keep them united in the work that they do. And I pray that you will set their course so clear and that you will help them help others dream again. I honor you, God, for them and dedicate them to you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Congratulations.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,